Good morning. Welcome back. We're haven't been for a while. Now, last time, it's been a long while. Last time we were here, we were doing the four shayimim. And I know we did it quickly, but we're not going to really do too much. It's all technical. I mean, everything is not. There's beautiful concepts. And we connected the four different types of guardians to Pesach, which was amazing. Today, there is one more insight that I would like to do into the guardians, and then we're going to move on from them. As we've seen in Parshas Mishpatim, it's a parsha full of civil laws, not necessarily as one seemed to connect to the other. So today we'll see a few other fascinating ideas, but before we get to the other fascinating ideas, as I said, I want to do one more insight into these four guardians. So today we are actually not going to talk about all the guardians, we're just going to take one halacha and we'll see what that is spiritually. So as we mentioned, there were four different types of people who can be watching something for somebody else, whether it be a paid guardian, an unpaid guardian, whether it be a borrower, a renter. All it means is that you have something that belongs to somebody else. And you are therefore responsible in some form or another, hopefully, to return the item fully intact to its original owner. Now, as we mentioned, there are many specific halachas, especially to do with what happens if something goes wrong. So if it gets damaged, if it gets stolen, good morning, if something should happen to it, is it negligence, unintentional, if it's something that you would never have expected, like a natural disaster, all these different things have different halachas, as we mentioned, and depending on what type of guardian. Obviously, if you're paid to watch something for somebody else, you are highly responsible. If you're unpaid and you're just doing a favor, you are very low level of responsibility. If you're borrowing something, you're even on a higher level of responsibility in a certain way, but you are permitted to use the item because the person knows that you are using it. There is one pasuk that I'd like to see that we're going to discuss, as we say, in depth. So I'll tell you which page it's on. I want to see, it starts on page 280 in the Chumash booklet. So this is the only one we're going to do today from here. Let's see, it's only two words on this, and then it goes to the next page. So starting on 280, pasuk ches. Because what we're saying over here is what happens, so you were entrusted with an item and it actually got stolen or got damaged. Now, the owner comes and he wants his item back. So you say, it was stolen, what should I do? Well, what happens? How can you, the owner, be sure that you are telling the truth? So there is a halacha that you have to go to Beis Din and swear, right? So you swear that the item was actually stolen. Or the, right? And that's, and then they know, okay, if you swear, well then you can't be held accountable anymore. Good morning, Jenny. Welcome. No, good to see you. Very good to see you. Here we go. Yes.
I'm just acting.
Right.
Comedy.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see this pasuk, and here is the pasuk that describes what they're going to swear. What are they going to say? So let's see. So it's page 280. Thank you, Daisy. And we see it says like this. Al kol, and then it goes to page 281, dvar pesha, and in English they translate it for any sinful word. Okay, well, it could be for any matter that goes wrong, so to speak. Let's see. Al shor, for an ox. Al chamar, for a donkey. Al seh, for a sheep. Oy al salma, al salma, for a garment, an article of clothing. Al kol aveda, for any lost item. Asher yoymar, which he will say, ki hu ze, that it is this, and we'll see who he is in a minute. We could say it's the person who is claiming that it was lost or stolen, let's say in this context, but we'll see other ways to say it. And what happens? Ad ha'elaykim yavai dvar shnehem. So to the judges shall come both of their claims. Asher yarshiun elaykim. So whoever the judge finds guilty, yishalem shnayim l're'ehu, shall pay two to his fellow. So let's just say, you had something from somebody else, and then the person comes back and says, I want it back. Whatever it was. Well, they give four examples, a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or a clothing. And you say, no, it was stolen. But either there are two witnesses that say, it's not stolen. I know he has it in the back closet. It's hiding in there. Well, you go to court and you swear and you say it was stolen. Well, if you do that and the item is found in your possession, not only do you have to return the item, but you have to return double, right? Okay, so that's, you can see from this pasuk that this is where it's being contested. His words are being contested. In other words, it's not that the owner believes him, or maybe the owner might believe him, but there's witnesses that say, no, 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 it's not true. Well, then this person will go to court. Part of the reason for this halacha is that the Torah knows that swearing is something that most, and especially they use Hashem's name, mm-hmm. is something that most people, yes, hesitate, yeah, mm-hmm. like it's like a big thing. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that this will help, that it should, it's a precaution, that people will try to do everything possible not to be put in this position. So you hope that when somebody's watching somebody else's thing, they will not deny that they have it. They'd rather give it back because they know they're going to have to swear otherwise. So it's a precautionary measure, and it's a way of encouraging the truth and people to act honestly. So it's one of the precautions. So hopefully it won't come to it. But sometimes it does come to it. So let's just see quickly into the Rashi, and then we'll see a little bit more what this means spiritually. So if you look at page 281, stay on page 281, you can look on the bottom of the Rashi, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, for any sinful word. So he says, Sheyimatse Shekeren Bishvuase, that is that he will be found a liar in his oath. Sheya'idu Eidim, because witnesses will testify, Shu Atzmei Ganvai, right, that he himself stole it, V'yarshiu Eleikim Al Pi Ha'edim, and the judges will convict him through the word of the witnesses. Okay, so he lied. Now he has to pay back double. Let's see what he says, Yishalim Shnaim L'Reyehu. So what does this teach us? This teaches, I'm just going to see, this is an interesting thing, just to stop a detail about when you're held accountable. So he says, the verse teaches us, Sha'atayin b'pikadon, the one that makes a claim about an article entrusted to his care, saying, Loimar nignav himenu, right? So the owner comes back and he says, sorry, I don't have it because it was stolen. V'nimtza shu atzmei ganvai, but what do you find? That he himself stole it. In other words, he's hiding it, he wants to keep it. What does he do? Mishalem tashlumei kefel, he has to pay double. But when? When does he become required to pay double? So very interesting. It says, bizman shenishba, when he swore that the article was stolen from him. V'achar kach bo eidim, and afterwards witnesses came and testified that he himself stole it. Shekach darshu rabbi seinu, that our rabbis teach us, and they learn it out from somewhere else, which means a very, very interesting thing, that if the witnesses come before he swore, he doesn't have to pay back double, right? You see, it's only when he has already sworn and then the witnesses come and then he has to pay back. I want to go down to the bottom part of the Rashi. Asher yoimar ki hu zeh. These are very strange words in the pasuk that is, as we said, about which he will say that it is this. So what is it referring to? So Rashi says, according to the pshat, Asher yoimar ha'ed, who's talking here? We're talking about the witness. And what does the witness say? The witness says, hu zeh shenishbata olav. It is this very thing that you swore about, right? And said, what did you say? You said, I swear that it was stolen. Now, harehu etzlecha. It's really in your possession. So what happens? You come again to the court, right? Now you have to come to the judges, and you have both claims, meaning the witness's claim and the one who was watching the item. V'yachkru es ha'edim, and of course they're going to examine the witnesses. And if the witnesses are ksherim, valid, then what happens? Then you will convict the guardian, and he has to pay back double. But if, sometimes it could happen that the witnesses are not correct, in other words, they're the ones who are lying, then they will pay back double, which is a fascinating concept. Oh, so this is a very, you know, in the Gemara there are many pages. There is so much that they learn about how you examine witnesses. There's a lot of expertise. There's questions, they're asked separately, they're asked together, and there's many ways to find out. Obviously, ultimately, you're relying on somebody's word, it's true. But there are ways that they had where they would examine, and they would find, yeah, it's amazing. No, but it was fascinating, yeah. That's it, we should. But there are some things that people do use today. But okay, so now what I want to do is stop over here for a minute. So this is just an interesting halacha. Seems like a technical, I mean, it's a technical halacha. It's a legal.
You have to pay double, like, two camels.
Yeah, two camels, that's right. Mm-hmm. Two donkeys, as he says, two oxen, two sheep, or two clothing, articles of clothing, yes. No problem.
What happens if the animal dies?
Okay, so this is a different, no, we didn't mention Jenny. That is a different halacha. That depends on what type of guardian you are as to how responsible you are. So if you're an unpaid guardian and the animal dies, but you were not being negligent, then you're not responsible. But if you're paid, then you have a lot more responsibility. So it all depends, and there's varying degrees. Yeah. Now, if you would do me a favor, now the other sheets that you have in front of you, we're going to look in here, and we're going to see, as we did last time, how all of these halachas, which they do apply, human relations. We have lots of things that happen with our daily transactions and our, interactions with people. Yet there's also the spiritual side, which is a very beautiful side. And let's see what this pasuk means spiritually for all of us. Okay, so on one, we're going to do some of this inside, some of it orally. And I know the way I made the copies, the other side is upside down. But anyways, I'm sorry about that. But there's a number one that helps us to know where to start. And it is in Yiddish. So, okay, it's Yiddish. Yeah, it's Yiddish. It's a sichud Yiddish. Okay. All right, so we'll start. Yes, okay, so it's starting on one. So he says, in Heintiger Sedra state, in today's Sedra, and also if you want, if I'm not clear, please ask, okay? Please, ask. Okay, so in today's Sedra it says, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, the pasuk we just read, right, about everything that a person perhaps lies about, Al Kol Aveda, and anything that was lost, Asher Yoyim Akihuzeh, that a person says, this is it, Ad Ha'elei Kim Yavai Dvar Shneim, the words of both of them have to come before the judge. Elei Kim in this context is the judge. And then Yishalim Shneim L'Re'eyu, he has to pay back double. Zakti Gemara, so the Gemara says about this, As Der Pasuk Ret Vegan Ashamer, this Pasuk is referring to somebody who is a what we call a guardian. Vas Tainit, As Der Pikadin is Bayim Farlorin Gegangin, that what does he claim? He claims that the item which he was watching got lost. Was mit der Teine wird der Potter von zu bezahlen. That because he claims that, he is able to be exempt from paying back, right? Because he wasn't responsible, depending on what type of guardian. So now he claims that, and now he doesn't have to give back. By Hashemer Chinam, we know when it comes to an unpaid guardian, Teines Kneva Va'aveda, even something which is stolen and lost, he's not responsible. And by a shomer sachar, if it's a paid guardian, tainus einsin, that's even a stronger one. That's if some like natural disaster happens, because normal stealing, if you're paid, you have to be, you're more responsible, right? So if you're paid, you are responsible if somebody steals the item, and then you will anyways have to pay back, and you can't just claim it was stolen. It's not going to help. But here we're talking about where they're not responsible, and therefore they can swear, and then they're exempt from paying back. So he says, as erhat geshvarin of zayn taina. So what does he do? He actually swears about his claim. So he says it's true, and he even swears. Und zum seif hat sich ausgewiesen, but in the pasuk we find that what happened at the end, what's the unfortunate outcome of this situation? As erhat garpei sheya given, he was really lying. In dem pikadin. So either he actually touched it, he hid it, he stole it, he hurt it, whatever he did with it, he did something to it, and he really lied in der shvua, in the swearing. So what's the halacha in that case? Then again, it's not enough that he went to the court once, now he's going to go again. I mean, in the first case, the swearing doesn't necessarily have to be in court, but he swore, it was in front of witnesses, now he's brought to the court, and what's going to happen? Now he comes in front of the judge, and he has to pay back double. So here he says, Men hat schein geret viel mol, we've spoken many times, as alle inyonim von Galia de Torah, all matters which are found in the revealed parts of Torah, seinen faran euch in Ruchnis, are also found spiritually. Und adrabe, weil die inyonim seinen faran in Ruchnis, der far kommen sie der noch arop in Galia. Really, originally, they're spiritual, and afterwards, everything in the spiritual realms evolves into the physical. So all the mitzvahs that we have in the physical realm, really what is their source? In the spiritual realm. That's why we say the Torah begins with a beis, bereishis, because really the aleph is the spiritual counterpart. When you talk about people learning Torah in Gan Eden, you think they're learning about if you're allowed to carry on Shabbos, what does that have to do? But there's a spiritual counterpart. There's godly revelations, and there's all different types of things that are happening. And let's see the spiritual counterpart of our halacha. Okay, but it will apply to us down here, this one. But let's see how it works. Okay, so he says, Eichter din from Pshia, so even this halacha, as that we're talking about, Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon, when you actually touch, like in other words, you use the item, when you're not supposed to, mi'ila b'shvua, whether you're lying and you're giving a false oath, under p'sak din, and also the verdict, ata elikim yavei d'vashneyem, zainen oich da in ruchnis. All the different aspects can be found in the spiritual realm. Kveit kedushas adinim. Okay, so I'm just going to skip this paragraph. Let's go where we have over here in the line. Okay, so it's on column 2, second paragraph. So first of all, we did mention it with the other one, but here we're going to see it in a whole different light. Every single Jew has an object, we call it a pikadon, but it's more than an object, a treasure, which Hashem has entrusted to us. Okay, so he lent it to us, so to speak, or we are guarding it. We are a guardian over something which Hashem is entrusting. And what is that we are all given? Thus is the neshama, right, our soul. Velche darf hitin, and we are told that the soul, although it is there to animate, to give us life, but we have a heavy responsibility. We have to guard that soul. Not only do we have to guard it to give it back the same way it was given to us, but there's a little bit more that's asked of us, as we know. And let's see how he says, Zizal ibr blayd b'mishleim, so we have to watch it that it should remain complete. Or nit nifkam veren chas v'shom, it shouldn't become damaged, God forbid. Or nachmer, even more than that. Maile zayn di neshama noch hecher. We really have to elevate the neshama to a higher place. Vizi is given farther than it was before it came down. So we're not only asked to watch, we're asked actually to perfect, okay? To do more with it, with the special thing that Hashem has given us. Vi bavust as yiridas haneshama beguf is yirida letzairech aliyah. Because we know that the neshama coming down into the body is for the sake of an elevation. So this is the pikadain. This is what we are the guards of Hashem's gift to us, the neshama. Okay, so let's see. Dishmira. Vasa'id darf hitten di neshama. So this guarding that a Jew has to guard the neshama is farbunden oich mitashvua. It's also connected with the promise, with the swear. Where do we swear? What do we swear about the neshama? So we know the famous thing, Kamei Merazal, as b'shas ha-neshama darf ha-rupkein lamata. Time that a neshama has to descend down into this world, into the body. Mashpiyin oisai, the famous line that Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya at the beginning. Mashpiyin oisai, he is made to swear, to promise, tihi tzadik, you should be a tzadik, va'al tihi rasha, and do not be wicked. So we are all have made a promise, which means that's even a higher level of responsibility now. Let's hope that we don't promise falsely, so to speak. We have to keep our promise that we will guard this neshama, we will remain righteous and not be wicked. And now the pasuk continues and says, Al kol dvar pesha. What does that mean? As er is a pesheya. But what happens if you are like negligent or you do some damage in pikadon, right, to the object, un mayel in der shvua, and unfortunately go against the promise, so you're almost lying. Mitzad vas kumta. So the pasuk tells us, how does that happen? What's the root? What's the reason that would cause you, after you've made that promise, to guard the item, and you don't guard it properly, or you haven't guarded it properly, as we say, zakter pasuk. The pasuk gives us, because of And it's funny, usually we just translate this, these are the items. But here, we're going to take it a little out of context, and we're going to say that these items that are specifically enumerated in the Pasuk give us a hint as far as why it's challenging for us to guard our neshama. Okay, and keep it in its pristine state. Al-shar, for the ox, al-chamar, the donkey, the seh is the sheep, and the salma is the clothing. Das seinen prote sugim, these are specific different categories in dem nefesh habahamis of the animal soul. That's the problem. The problem is that if Hashem would give us just a godly soul, well, we would all be fine, no worries, but He didn't. He housed the godly soul within our body, which contains an animal soul, and the animal soul is really the bigger driver and the one that we're more aware of. And this is where we have a big issue. So let's see a little bit more about this animal soul and how that affects the godly soul. So he says, Das seinen Prote, okay, so let's see. It says, Velcha brengen dem al kol aveda, and it's these specific categories, and we'll see soon what they represent, that brings about loss. That brings about the damage that happens to the godly soul. As der nefesh alaykis vert rachmanolitzlan farlorin, that the godly soul seemingly becomes lost. Biz asher yoymar ki hu zeh, until the person says ki hu zeh. And well, let's see what that means. What is hu zeh? So let's see. We'll see a very beautiful thing. What is zeh? Zeh means this, right? And when you say this, we point. This is something which is real, right? Which you can see, which is obvious, which is in front of you, which has real existence. So let's see. Who does Zeh represent? So we say, Zeh really, at the bottom paragraph, Ba'amitis ha'muvan geit eif kedusha ve'eleikus. When you're talking about Zeh, that, especially in this context, it refers to godliness. To God Himself and godliness, spirituality. Why is the spirituality the only one that we can genuinely refer to as Zeh? So he says, and the truth is, other things you can't say Zeh. Why? Because of two things. So go on the top of page 2. Zeh meint, so Zeh means, das is das. This is it. You know, this is this, so to speak. Und das kann man sagen nur auf den Eibischten. And this you can only say about God. Why? Nivra is doch sein Metzias nicht er. Because the truth is a creation, His existence is not His own, right? He is a dependent on something else, which means His existence is fragile, dependent. What is an existence that is this and that can continue forever and always and that you can say about it that it is it? Only God. God is the only thing which is totally independent. And when you look at God, He's not connected to anything necessarily. He doesn't have to be connected or dependent on anything else. So God is the true this, if you want to say, a real existence in this case. And as we said, because in Look and Bay, Zeh meint as at da is das, and it's here. What does that mean when you say that it's here? Then men is. When you are, in other words, whatever time, whatever, you know, so to speak, era, und wo man is, and wherever you are, kemen sagin, ot is das. It's here. About who is that possible? Only about God. He's the only eternal being. So the only one that you could always consistently say this is about God. A person is, as we know, here today, not here, whatever, everything, here today, not here tomorrow. So only God is eternal. So He is the true Zeh. Okay, I'm gonna skip now, so because we want to, and also, as it says, there is no place that's devoid of godliness. So He's always here, and He's always everywhere. Okay, so that's God. But what happens, unfortunately, aber mitzad dem helem vehester von nefesh habahamis, unfortunately, because of the concealment of the animal soul, verbeitmen, we unfortunately exchange, und man sagt auf who, as das is Zeh. So instead of identifying the true existence, we can get a little bit confused. And the thing that is who, in other words, something that is that, you know, it's really a fragile existence and it's really not a true existence and it's dependent. Instead of identifying it as that, what do? We say that's the real existence. We all do that, right? We feel we're going to, well, we hope that we'll be here for a long time, but we feel physicality, materialism, that becomes the thing that we depend on, that we trust, that we rely on, instead of realizing how fragile and how temporary it is. So we confuse it. What makes us confuse it? The animal soul. The animal soul gives a bit of a blockage to the godly soul, and it gives a blockage to godliness. And therefore, we get confused. Now, what happens then? That's a bit of a problem. Okay, so as we know, let's see. So Gimel, look in Gimel.
The animal soul to us is a known. So you're more secure with the known.
Oh, that's for sure, Hannah, we know. Yeah.
How do you relate to an unknown?
That's a very good question. That's why the challenge is there. You're right. 100%. It's interesting. It says in Tanya explains that really when it talks about the godly soul, it calls it the second soul. Because the animal soul is what we identify as ourselves. Yes, you're right. But that's the challenge. And let's see how we're going to explain it. Actually, interesting, it's all connected to Sefiras HaOmer, because the challenge is not only to identify the godly soul as the true existence, that he should be the master, so to speak, but it's also to transform the animal soul, because that's what we relate to. And when we do, we work with both. So let's see how that will work. So let's see. And then we'll relate to everything. It will be a comfortable existence, so to speak, in the sense where we won't be torn. And that's the ideal. So let's see how we can do that.
Sure.
I can't quite understand. You say Hashem is everywhere. How can Hashem be in this place where there's so much evil? It's
That's a good question.
The animal soul of the person.
Yeah, it's the concealment. Yeah, it's hard for us. Sylvia, you're right.
That's
it's a hard one.
Everybody
asks. Yeah.
Such evil. Yeah. And it's always been.
Yeah, as we know, 100%, 100%. Yeah.
The lessons through that. Mm. I don't know.
It's a struggle. Sylvia, no, you're right. It's a struggle. It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, let's see in our let's see. Well, Mashiach is going to answer. That's for sure. Okay. That's right. Run lots of questions. Okay. So in deep prote hamadrega. So now let's get to the details, as we mentioned before, because when we identify, sometimes we can, fix the struggle a little bit. At least we know what we're struggling with, right? So that helps. Okay. So let's see. What are we saying here? So he says. So the details, the specific levels of the animal soul, thus der pasuk is a kailel in difir sugim. The pasuk is actually generally categorizing them into four different categories. So he said, there's a shor, a chamor, a se, or a salma. Let's see what they are. So he says, the tzemach tzedek mevarin maimer, as shor meint, shor nagach. What's a shor represent? An ox? A goring ox. Aggressiveness. That's one of the not very positive traits that many of that the animal soul expresses itself in a very aggressive, harsh, strong, overpowering manner. That's one negative. Then we have chamar. What is the chamar, the donkey? Chamra, very fascinating thing. The Gemara says chamra betkufas tamuz krirale. Tamuz in Eretz Yisrael is the hottest month of the year. Even in the hottest month of the year, the donkey is cold. Represents coldness, you can say apathy, anything to do with coldness. That's what the donkey represents. That's another terrible trait, that the animal soul, when you allow that to dominate and become part of your personality, so a person who becomes an apathetic person, a cold person, an unfeeling, any of that would fit into the chamar. I know you think so, but in this context, so it could be explained in marriage. So sometimes it's also connected, because the chumri is, that's what blocks the spirituality. And we always say that Hashem is life. Chumri is not life. And so that's coldness, yeah. Okay, let's see here. And then he goes on and he says, Salma, what does that clothing represent? Beged boigdim bogdu. So it's really totally out of context, but Beged is also a word for clothing, and it means rebellion. So anytime you rebel, like Livgoid is to rebel. So any action of rebellion, where you go against, just for the sake of going against, we know that the Nefesh HaBahamas has that lots of times. We have that voice that comes in and says, do the opposite. A lot of times we do, just for the sake, I don't know, for what? We don't even know why, it just comes in. That's the Salma. What is the Seh? This is an interesting one. It says, Seh Pizura Yisrael. Sepzura Yisrael means that the Jewish people are a like a sheep which is scattered, which is like all over the place, has no direction. And we're going to discuss the Seh, because according to the Rebbe, the Seh is the biggest one for nowadays. Let's see what that means. It sounds a bit strange, doesn't sound like we can relate. Let's see what this says. I want to show you. Let's go now to Dalet. You see on this fourth column, Eif dem vasashteit Seh psura Yisrael, so frekt min akashe. So there's a question asked about this pasuk, and he says just before that, that this is the one that's referring to our generation. The problem that we have mostly is the problem of the Seh. So the first of all, the question is, it says Seh in a negative way, that the Jewish people are the scattered sheep. What word is being used for Jew here? Frek min akasha. Yisrael is doch Hashem hamayla. When you use the word Yisrael, usually it's when you are referring to the Jewish people in a very admirable way. When we use the word Yaakov or the other, but Yisrael is the higher level. So why are we saying Yisrael here? As he says, un sep zura is a chasarin, right? We're talking about something which is a negative here. Is favas b'shaser vilzelgen sep zura der mont der Yisrael dafka. Why are we using this name of the Jewish people? Nor der inyan is, as das frek taked der Navi. That's exactly what the Navi is asking. It's in Yirmiyahu what he's saying there. Vibal das iden veren batzeichen mit den Namen Yisrael. What he's saying, it's like he's actually glaring at us the problem. He's showing us that it's like when you have, you know, when you say to a child who's very intelligent and you say to him, why did you get such a bad mark? The reason that you're asking is because you are so intelligent. And here we are talking to the Jewish people who are known as Yisrael, and we are saying, how can you be acting like this? Let's see what this is. Okay, so he says, what does Yisrael represent? Yisrael represents Kisarisa imelekim v'imanoshim v'tuchal, right? That's what we said by Yaakov. What did he do? He struggled with the angel and he overcame, which means he's a sar, he's above. He is somebody, a Jew, is somebody who should have the positive assertiveness, not aggressive, but the positive assertiveness, the ability to stand strong and proud for what he or she believes, right? That's what we are. We should be. We should have the greatest strength and the greatest ability to not give a hoot about what anybody else says, not care, not live by our principles, because that's what we believe in. That's the ultimate. That's what Yisrael represents, right? We overcame not only people, but even an angel we were able to overcome because we knew that was right. As a id hat bekayach zu zayna bala bayis, a Jew has the ability to be a master, sarisa, nitnareif mentioned, not only on people, nor euch euch malachim, but even on angels. As we say, heint wie kommt es, as hat nit insicht kentaykev. How is it possible that he doesn't have inside of himself that strength? Bis as schleppt sich nach jeder einem. He's like a sheep, that's what he means, that literally just wanders around following, being a real follower with no strength. Unfortunately, it could be in many ways, as we can see now, but hopefully now they won't do that, make the same mistake again. Okay, Erez Aseb Zura, he is, like he says, why are you being this scattered sheep that's just running around and following what everybody else says? Und das ist euch gewend die Teine von Haman, as he says, okay, just quickly, this was also Haman's thing, Dem Katrig in Himmel, and that represents the one that's up in heaven, and he's telling God not to like the Jewish people. What does he say? Tachashverish, which represents God. He says, Yeshnoi am echad mefuzaru mefeirid beinam. Remember Haman said, there is one nation that he's scattered, he's spread out amongst the nations. Ve'ez dasri ha-melech einam oisim, right? And they don't do the will, so to speak, of the king. And what does Yeshnoi am echad represent? Es is da'a folk, there is a nation. Vazayin muhus is echad. What's the essence of this nation? One. Zei kanin machin echad umetum. They have the ability, the capability, and the mission to wherever they find themselves, to make one. With what does that mean to make one? To make everybody know that there is a God in the world and to know, as we say, a light unto the nations. We have that ability to stand by what's right.
have the right principles and not only keep it ourselves, but to make sure that everybody around us keeps it, as we say. Ze kennen machen echad umetum bis ba'aretz, even into the lowest place, even to the land. Wie es steht, goy echad ba'aretz. Und nit kucken dick auf sehr Größkeit, and notwithstanding their greatness, seinen ze mefuzar umefeiret beinamim. Unfortunately, we don't live up to that, and we become more scattered amongst the nations. Ze veren nispol von yedereinim. This is always a very negative thing. We, and the Yiddish word is hard to translate, but we are affected. We allow what other people say to matter. Who cares what other people say? They're going to say it anyways. We have to be strong and know what we're doing is right, and that's what we do. Not care what other people will say. And therefore, because they care, then they don't do the will of the king, right? They don't do the will of Hashem. So he says, der seder wie es darf sein ist, as a id woher kommt. And this is quite strong language, but he says like this, that a Jew, really what should be is wherever a Jew finds themselves, wherever a Jew happens to live, darfer unfearing, he should be the one in charge. A Jew cannot remain just, you know, like a follower, just like one of amongst everybody. But what are we talking about? We're not talking about financially here. We're not talking about politically. We're talking about spiritually. A Jew has to be the one to set the tone wherever he is for what is the spiritual, the moral compass. That's the Jew has to be the one. As he says, in the Ruchnius, was das ist der Emes Metzius. And if you go on the back on page 3, from the ganze Stadt, he should be the one leading the entire city, mit dem ganzen Arum, with all the entire environment, mit der ganzen Medina, with the entire country. Und anstatt dem, and instead of this, verliert sich, he loses himself, as nit nor was is nit kein Mashpia, not only isn't he the one that's doing the influencing, nor wird noch am Mushpa, unfortunately, he becomes influenced. Tut noch die Stussim von der Medina, he lets himself, allows himself to do all the nonsense of the country, from der Sviva und von der Stadt, from around him and from the city. And that's a very negative thing. Anstatt dem, was bei jeder Sache darf peilen auf der ganze Sviva, as der Shulchan Aruch soll sein Zeir Paisek, instead of influencing that everywhere, what should be the thing that actually decides what's correct and what's not correct, it's Hashem's law, that's what tells us what's morally correct and what's not, like Shulchan Aruch says, anstatt dem, is der Paisek bei ihm die Sviva, instead he allows the surroundings to decide for him. Und der next door, and the next door neighbor, as he says, the Shochein, is by em der Paisik Achre, and that becomes the final verdict. Was leit dem stellt ein sein ganze Anhages Habayis, and that's how he conducts himself, instead of having that strength. So this is a big problem. This is what the Pasuk identified. This is the Nefesh HaBahamas of nowadays. We see it individually, and unfortunately sometimes we see it, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm not in that position, but we do see it in Israel also. Unfortunately sometimes it's tremendous pressure, but it's a problem. It's a big problem. We need to have that strength. We need to remember that we are not just a wandering sheep. We are leaders, and we know what's right, and we'll do what's right, because that's what Hashem said, and that's the only thing that should dictate to us what we do. So then he says, and then unfortunately, when we allow that, then we're in trouble, as we know. Mm-hmm. It's big trouble. And let's see what he says in Vav. Especially nowadays. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you can't put on the news anymore in Australia, that's for sure. No, I'm saying you can't even put the news on, you just become sick. But anyways, okay. The Inyan Funse. Yeah, the Inyan von Sep Zura Yisrael, so the idea of this sheep that just like wanders and scattered, as he says, Vas has felt their takeif, that you're missing that strength, is oif as I feel, it's so big, it's so much, as a feel, okay, oh, sorry, so maybe we would just skip this one, so we're going to go to Zion, let's go to Zion, because here we're talking, okay, so that's also in the way we conduct ourselves with our children, in everything, it's just extending it. So let's see now, and as he says, even very fascinating thing that when you see a Jewish child walking in the street, some people are so afraid that nobody should be able to identify them as a Jew. That's a negative thing, that's a lack of inner confidence, a lack of inner strength, that we are able to be strong in who we are, and we are doing the right thing. So that's a very important thing. So let's go now a little bit more into the Pasuk, how it applies. So he says, light dem kemen eich der klaren. So according to this, I'm going to skip this part also inside, but I just want to tell you, he says that a very fascinating thing in the Gemara. The Gemara asks why each of these items are mentioned individually. Why can't we just say any item? And each one teaches us a different halacha. But the Gemara has a fascinating thing. And it says that the seh, the sheep, doesn't seem to really teach us its own halacha. It's almost like, why are we mentioning, we're not even sure why we're mentioning the sheep, in a sense, strict, talking about technically speaking, what do we really learn from it? And he actually uses the language, as he says, kasha, let me just see the language that he uses, it's difficult. So the Rebbe takes it out of context, says, what's difficult? This is the most difficult animal soul that we have, the most difficult challenge when we don't have that inner strength. That's when we can be easily overcome, and that's when we cannot live like we should be living. So let's go now and see how it works the other way, what we're supposed to do. So, sorry, it's the second paragraph here on in the second column on page 3. So he says, Light vimin hatgeret frier, kemin dachter klaren in avaydes ha'adam. So we can explain, according to what we mentioned before, in our service in a very short way. So first of all, we said the shor was the one that gores and the chamar that. So what chamar was nit kuken dikayf shemesh Hashem. Okay, it's kriyale, right? We said it's cold and the salma is rebelling in Torah mitzvahs. So he says, sometimes you wonder, how can that person actually change himself? Those are very bad things. You know, you think those are like a help. That's terrible. If somebody rebels, if somebody's cold, how are they going to do tshuva? How is he going to be cured? You think, oh, what's the big deal? So I'm just lost amongst the nations, so to speak. So I'm not so assertive. So that's why the Gemara says, no, this is the worst one. Don't think this is such an easy one to correct. This is one of the worst problems that you can have. And it's not easy. And it's not easy to correct, I guess, also because you don't identify it as such a problem. It makes it even harder for you to correct. I just want to see, and as he says, because what are the first words in Shulchan Aruch? Very, very interesting. It says, Al yevesh mipnei hamaligim. That a person, when they wake up in the morning, actually, one of the first things you're supposed to think after Maida Ani, and as you're saying Maida Ani, one of the things is that you will not be embarrassed, you will not be ashamed in front of all of the people who mock you. You will be strong in what you believe. And this is something that we're meant to every morning fill ourselves with that pride. It's not pride, it's inner strength and inner conviction. And we will be able to continue despite all the mockers and the scoffers that are out there. And as I say, nowadays we need it even more, but something that Shulchan Aruch tells us every morning, a person really has to give, set their mind and literally fortify themselves to be able to do that every single day. But if a person is a seh like that, he doesn't even have that. So how could he continue with Shulchan Aruch? If he doesn't have the A, he can't go to B. Forget it. That's what the Rebbe says. That's a big problem. So let's see. But nevertheless, what do we say in the pasuk? You can still do tshuva. There's always hope, as we say. We never give up on the day. We can always do tshuva. So he says, even such a difficult thing to return, still you can do tshuva. And let's see now on the next slide, just to see a little more how we transform. Erzogt weiter in pasuk von der sedra. So it's on 4 on the top. As der psaktin und die Eitze von der Pschirsche bebekodem shes besibas shor chamer salma unafilu seh is. So what do you do about this problem when you have all these different issues? So ad ha'eleikim, what do? We said we go to court, right? To go to the judge. Dayone. Yovei dvar shneim, should come both of their words, which means in our context, the nefesh eleikis, the godly soul, that's having this struggle with all these different versions of the animal soul. Who do you come to? Was das geht auf den ersten Tag? And this is referring to the first judge, Moshe. Und es pashtusa de Moshe b'chol dara v'dara. And Hashem is kind and gives us throughout the generation sparks of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to look to our leaders. We have to look for inspiration in order for us to be able to overcome all of these different versions of the animal soul. Was ergit der koyach auf tan tshuva, he gives us as we say, Moshe Rabbeinu gives us the strength to do tshuva properly. And then what do we have to do? Yishalim shnayim l're'ehu. But if we've made this mistake, any of these mistakes, at any point in our life, it's not good enough just to go back and do it right. What do we have to do now? Now we have to pay back double to God. Okay, and what is double? As he says, double them v'kaidem achet v'yeshtet in igeres ha'tshuva, and he gives an example, ha'yarag elikra is daf echad, Yikare da shnei dafim. So it's a little hard, but if you were used to learning one page and now you have to learn two pages, you can't. When it's true, even in, they know, in human nature, if you want to correct something, it's not good enough just to go back to the way you were before, because you realize that in that state, that's where you made the mistake. You've got to arm yourself doubly. That's why we take upon ourselves more things. Hope if it could be in the same area that we make, whatever it is, but we have to make a higher fence so we shouldn't fall again. And that's the double that we pay back. On demelt, vetim der eibishter gebe mida keneged mida. And then the beautiful thing we say is that Hashem is a very kind master. So he entrusted you, right? And he gave you the soul, but he's, and you didn't give it back properly, made big money, you ruined it, but you're going to pay back double. And now we say Hashem is also going to pay you mida keneged mida, as eich dis dinais velen verin kezachias. This is a very beautiful thing. Hashem gives you the option, the ability, so to speak, the capability to take all of those mistakes that you made and not only wipe the slate clean, but actually the mistakes themselves become considered mitzvahs. That's what we say, you know, that when a person does a proper tshuva, then all the mistakes that we have made, not only are they erased, but they are used as something good towards you. And why is that? And Tanya explains, because it's the mistake that spurred you to growth. And therefore, what happens is that that actual mistake can be transformed in Hashem's eyes, and you get even more reward, a closer connection to Hashem. It's like we explain a simple analogy is if you have a rope and you tear the rope. Now you're severed, you're separated. What do? You have to repair it. So how do you repair it? You tie it together again. When you tie a knot in something, now they're closer together because the knot makes the two pieces closer together. So now, after you've done tshuva, you are even closer to God than before you sinned. This is almost like a double. So Hashem is really kind. You do double and he'll give you back. He'll reimburse, so to speak. It's a big effort and he'll reimburse and he'll be even closer. And then he says, as eich de nefesh abahamis, so what's one of the big things that will happen? That even your animal soul, vet mesayeya zayin, will assist you to serving Hashem. Now he's going to give a few specific examples in a very short way. So we said that there's the shor. Remember, the shor was the ox with gores, which is aggressive. But we know that aggression in itself is a negative thing. But in a positive side, we can say aggression can be channeled to be strong assertiveness. If a person can take their goring, their aggression, and harness it and use it properly, as the pasuk says, Rav Tvois Bekayach Shor, that when you take an ox and you take him into the field, he's going to collect a lot more crops than a human being can. He's much stronger. So if you harness your animal soul, you'll be even stronger. Obviously, you have to channel it, as he says. And the other one, what's the chamar? So he says in chamar, very interesting thing, the chamar is a donkey. And what do we know about a donkey? So in the negative, it was cold. But in the positive side, a donkey holds a load. A person only has a certain amount of strength. And when they want to carry something heavy, they go with their donkey. And the donkey, you can put a lot more packages on. So he's saying over here also that a person can carry a heavier load of the yoke of Hashem. That's what the chamor represents. So you transform your donkey. It's not going to be cold anymore. Rather, it's going to be accepting the will of God without questions. Questions we could have. But without, you know, disregarding the question. So we'll still do, even if it's a little bit automatic, but we'll do and we'll do and we'll do because that's what Hashem wants. That's what the chamor could, as we say, in the transformation. And what is the salma? What is the clothing before it was like a rebellion? So he says the clothing. Oh, it doesn't say over here, does he? I don't see the clothing, but he says over here, what does this say? As we mentioned before, the one that we're talking about the most was the sheep. That's what David HaMelech says, I got lost, you know, I was losing myself like a sheep that was blunt, you know, going in different directions and not knowing where it's going. So he says, er blunjet azayvi asev as hatnit can eigenim taikif un vert falarin vert er bakesh avdecha, rather than just allowing yourself to be lost and going in any which way, What do you allow yourself? You allow yourself to be led by God himself. So this is a positive in the sheep. The sheep is a meek animal, right? That's the problem. But it's not always a problem if the sheep attaches itself to a good leader. So if you attach yourself to Hashem and you say, Hashem, I'll let you lead me where you want me to go, that's the positive in the sheep, as he says. And even higher on here, Taka says the Salma. Oh, it's a very beautiful pasuk. V'reyach simleisecha k'reyach levana, in that the smell of the clothing are like the smell of Lebanon, of beautiful trees in Lebanon. What it represents over there in Shir HaShirim is that the person has the mitzvahs, which you do with your clothing, like the mitzvah of not wearing shatnez or the mitzvah of tzitzis, but it represents all mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are garments. So what do? Instead of rebelling against God, you clothe yourself with many mitzvahs. And as we know, mitzvahs means following a command. That's the opposite of rebellion. Rebellion is you don't do what Hashem says here, you do how Hashem prescribes. All these things are transformation. So he says in Algemein in das, so generally what we can say as Eichter Nefesh Abahamis, so the God, the animal soul, is Misayeyet Zu Avaydes Hashem, helps you to serve Hashem. And that's why we say in Shema, we say V'yahavta Es Hashem Alekecha B'chol Levavcha, right? With all your heart. And we say two bases, right? Not B'chol Libcha, B'chol Levavcha, because two sides of the heart, both the animal soul and the godly soul. And the truth is, everything's always connected, it just happens to be, but we are in Sfira Sa'ima, and really this is what we're doing now. In these 7 weeks, we are meant to be transforming our animal soul, harnessing it so that when we come to Shavuos, we're not just coming with our godly soul and leaving the animal soul sleeping. We hopefully have an awake animal soul, but an animal, like we would say nowadays, a loyal pet that helps us. You know, you have a dog who can help the person see who can't see, so we have the animal soul that we can use. Yeah, Hannah, we relate to it. That's fine. That's great. It's an emotional thing, and it's fantastic if we use it properly. So that's the idea, because the animal soul of a Jew is not bad. Animal soul of any is not bad in and of itself. It leans more to selfishness and to self-centeredness, but definitely channel, we can channel it. So that's the goal, and that's what the pasuk is telling us here. Okay, so that's this. Now-